This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 707 a.m. on Tuesday, the 4th of October. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. But as always, let's kickstart the morning with a recap of how global markets closed overnight.
U.S. markets closed with a very nice shade of green. The Dow was up 2.7%, S&P 500 up 2.6%, the Nasdaq up 2.3%. Asian markets, though, were mixed. The Nikkei was up 1.1%. Hang Seng down 0.8%. Shanghai Composite was closed because of Golden Week. Singapore's STI was down 0.7%. And back home, FBM KLCA up 0.2%, shy of 1,400 at 1,397.
All right. For more on what's moving international markets, we have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist with the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Hi, Joe. Good morning. Now, the ISM gauge of factory activity fell to a two-year low. Do you think the Fed will take this, that the economy is slowing, and may consider stopping their tightening program after one more hike in November?
Perhaps, but I don't think the Fed is done. They got to look at the labor market. The big question related to that is, do they do 50 basis points or 75? So, the Fed needs more signals, more signs that the economy is slowing, and particularly through the labor market. So we're not there yet. The Fed is still very much in play, and we're looking for 50 to 75 basis hikes in November and then another hike in December.
Okay, Joe, I've been having this conundrum in my head. Because the Fed has two objectives. One, of course, is to ensure that the economy is in full employment, and the other one is an inflation rate of 2%. But aren't they at odds with each other at the current moment?
Yeah, I mean, your head is fine. The Fed is the problem. So they're dual mandate, right? Price stability, and they have jobs. So, I mean, it is remarkable. The Fed, to get price stability, needs to raise the unemployment rate. So, but this is the Fed's own doing. They let inflation genie out of the bottle. So you're correct in that there's a dilemma. This is what keeps the market on edge. How far will the Fed go to raise the unemployment rate before capitulating politically or otherwise? So that's kind of like why the markets are in so much on edge here. So your head is fine. It's the Fed.
Okay, so we don't need to get our head examined then. But I guess, Joe, you know, if you talk about Margaret Thatcher, she always said the lady is not for turning. But it seems that her mentee, Liz Truss, has U-turned on the tax cuts proposed for high-income earners. What's your take and what do you think is going to impact markets?
Well, it was kind of ham-fisted how they rolled out with, you know, a big tax cut in the face of the Bank of England raising rates. I mean, Econ 101 says that doesn't work, and the bond vigilantes took it out on the pound and sterling. Gilt across the board. So I think she's going to walk this back with the Treasury. I mean, they're going to have to walk this back, settle down the markets. The pound got a little bit of a bid here, is oversold. So I'm encouraged by that, but they need to kind of shift and get on the same page as the Bank of England. But let's face it, the central banks are running a lot of these government policies now. We've gone from fiscal stimulus, pandemic, to now monetary tightening with the central banks. And the governments have to be aligned with the central banks, or you're going to see more of what happened last week in the UK.
And Joe, can I just ask, get your opinion on something that came out overnight regarding comments from the United Nations warning against the risk of monetary policy-induced global recession. Is it unusual to have the UN come out with comments on central bank monetary policy tightening?
It certainly is, and I don't know how effective that will be, but the UN is looking at the war, they're looking at the famines, they're looking at the prices for food rising in the emerging markets. A lot of folks falling behind, you know, the emerging market consumer going backwards, not forward. So they're worried, but, you know, I mean, let's face it, though. I don't think the central banks are going to take too much stock of what the UN says in the face of historically, or say decades high inflation. The number one fight for the central banks is inflation. And maybe we get some relief in, say, 3 or 4 or 5 months, but we're not there yet.
Okay, in the meantime, I think we're all going to have to get used to this volatility. And even the VIX index is showing that, right, which is a fear gauge. It's risen nearly 18% over the past month. Is this indicative that many investors are expecting the S&P to fall even further from the current 22% year-to-date drop?
It is, in the sense that a lot of investors don't think we put in a bottom yet, a bear market bottom. So maybe we get a little rally here in October, maybe it's a head fake, but there's still a lot of uncertainty in and around, are we in a recession in the United States? Is the dollar too strong? Is OPEC going to raise oil prices at precisely the moment when there's relief in the market? So I think the VIX is going to remain very volatile going into the fourth quarter. There's a big bet, though, I should say this. November and December, there's a lot of money positioned for a rally. I'm not sure how much of a rally and how sustainable it is. But I don't think September is going to be repeated in October. September was horrible. October should be better, as November and December.
Okay, Joe, I know you can't comment specifically on stocks, but I do want to talk about Credit Suisse. And of course, we've got lots of headlines coming out saying that the swaps indicate that there's a 23% chance that they will default on their bonds. Do you think these reminds you anything like the financial crisis we saw in 2008 when Lehman Brothers got into massive trouble and, of course, eventually shut down, and even Deutsche Bank questions about their liquidity? Does it have a sense of history repeating itself?
It's a great question, and I don't have a good answer, but I will say this. When the Fed is in a very aggressive tightening mode, right? This is one of the fastest aggressive tightening mode. Something has to break. I don't think it's the UK. I don't think it's Credit Suisse. I mean, there's a lot of stress in the system. So, I'm not ready to call that one, or we are as a firm, but Credit Suisse is kind of a reminder that in a Fed tightening cycle that things get broken. And a lot of times when it's broken, that's the signal that we're at the bottom. But we're not there yet. So I really think particularly U.S. banks are just very solid position. European banks maybe less so. But this is part and parcel. Go back to the VIX, the uncertainty, the volatility. That is all part and parcel of this story that we're talking about.
And I guess a reflection of demand is oil. If I looked at it last week, oil was on a downward trend as a result of the US SPR increases. But we saw recently overnight, the past 1-2 days, I think OPEC planning to cut rates. Oil is now at $88, up 4%. What's your prognosis on that?
I mean, I think oil, remember, I mean, we're at 88 bucks without China. So China is still flatlining. And you're seeing OPEC plus have the discipline to cut production perhaps coming forward. The U.S. has worked down its reserves. So I think $100 in that range is where I think oil kind of settles from now into the end of the year, going into the winter, see how bad it is in Europe. So we're still overweight energy. We still like the energy complex. We still like the energy, the big cap, all downstream, upstream. So I think it's another reminder to be overweight energy. Even as we saw the pullback, global recession, pullback, pull down prices, but we think there's more upside for these energy producers. And in the third quarter, I expect the energy companies to hit it out of the park again when it comes to earnings.
Joe, thanks as always for the chat this morning. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead.
I was reflecting on your question to Joe about Credit Suisse, and Joe was very clear, who say, look, what's going to break, what's going to break next?
We don't know.
He thinks it's not the UK economy. He thinks it's not Credit Suisse. So in my mind, where is the stress in the system? Where is it that you see the balance sheet the weakest and most vulnerable?
For me, actually, it's going to be a question mark, right? Could it be the households for a change? But unlikely, because during COVID, everybody, the US, they were given checks. And as a result, they could actually pare down their personal debt. Although we have recently seen the rise of credit card use, not just in the United Kingdom, not only in the United States, but also in the United Kingdom, right? So households have had a chance to recover. Corporates are a little bit wiser, their balance sheets aren't so indebted, and even then they have learned to borrow in the currency in which they trade the most. So I'm perturbed as to where the pain is going to come.
The stress is going to be.
Could it be an emerging market economy? That is a possibility, like Sri Lanka.
I think that's what the United Nations was saying as well when they issued that report on Monday warning about the risks of monetary policy-induced global recession. So this is a report that came out of the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development. So they said that the higher interest rates will have a severe impact on emerging economies, which already have high levels of private and public debt.
I think that's why, there's a lot of questions about your debt. And you just highlighted it very nicely, right? The households really are not very indebted. Corporate balance sheets seem quite healthy. So it's governments. And if you unpack the governments, right, it's the emerging markets. And that's why there's so much debate about the debt structure of these emerging markets, especially if you're not borrowing in your own currency.
So this harks back to the 1997-1998 financial crisis, right? Asian financial crisis. And, you know, it has very similar tones to what we're seeing now, where you see great volatility in the currency space. That's usually a precursor of what's happening. So is history going to repeat itself? That's the big question.
We'll be keeping an eye on that. 7:18 in the morning, where we're coming up to 7:18 in the morning. We're heading into some messages, and when we come back, we'll cover the top headlines in the newspapers and news portals this morning. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.